Hey, a couple weeks ago, well, a few weeks, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. Last week, we talked about being born again, that God breathed the breath of life into Adam. So, and we saw the picture of that again in John when Jesus said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," and He breathed on them. We talked about the Old Testament where the tabernacle was dedicated and consecrated, and at that moment, both the temple and the tabernacle in the Old Testament, when they were dedicated and consecrated, sanctified to the Lord, open for business, that the cloud descended and filled the temple. How much that is like our lives, how when we accept Christ into our lives, we receive the deposit of the Holy Spirit, the guarantee of our inheritance. We are born again. We've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of the kingdom of light, or the Son of His love. We're reconciled to God. We're friends again. But this morning, I'd like to share with you for the next few minutes about the Holy Spirit not only being present in our lives. How many know the Holy Spirit needs to not only be present in our lives, but needs to be active in our lives? There's a problem when we receive the gift of salvation, when Jesus saves us and the Holy Spirit is deposited into our hearts, into our lives, we are born again, and we don't grow. The Holy Spirit needs to not only be present, but needs to be active in our lives. So I'd like to share with you about the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. I don't want to just get older. I want to get more mature. You can get older and not mature. Not just in Christian faith. You can just get older and still remain quite immature. Growing up is a process. But when we talk about spiritual growing up and the process that works in our lives, one of the words the Bible uses is sanctification. Sanctification. It has to do with being made pure, being made holy, being made clean. The trouble is sometimes we miss the fact that there are two sanctifications in Scripture. One is immediate, and the other is progressive. You are immediately sanctified. There's an immediate sanctification that takes place when we are saved. We are sanctified. We're set apart for holy purposes. Often we'll refer to a room like this, and in many churches, some area of the building will be called a sanctuary. Over the years, we've changed it to multi-purpose rooms and main auditoriums because there's been lots of other functions that happen in a room like this. But I still will refer to the sanctuary. And that just simply means a place set apart for holy purposes. And we used to sing a song, "Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, a pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you." Sanctuary, sanctified. You are instantly declared to be a saint. So you could go by the name Saint Scott. I don't know that I would recommend that when you introduce yourself. I'm Saint Ellen, or now John's got some advantage. Saint John, there's some precedent really for that. And I have nothing against the song, but we are not just a sinner saved by grace. We were a sinner, and we are saved by grace. We are now a saint. We are now a saint. You are in right standing with God. In fact, Paul will talk to the church in Corinth in the beginning chapter, verse 2. He'll say, "To the church of God which is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus." Here we are. To those who are sanctified. That's us, and that's the church at Corinth. Sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Who in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. We are all called. We're declared sanctified. We're declared saints. Chapter 1, 1 Corinthians, verse 2. However, 9 verses later, verse 11, he starts in on them. "For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren," and he tells who ratted them out, "by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you." We didn't even get past verse 11. As he begins to bring correction to all that's going on in the church in Corinth. Now, he's just called them saints. He said, "You're saved, you're sanctified, you're set apart, you're a saint." He'll talk about you're blameless, and then he brings some blame all through the remainder of 1 Corinthians. It's like, what is going on? He hears from Chloe, or from her kids, from her house, that there's fighting going on. "Paul, the kids are fighting." You know, it says, he had just called them saints. See, the struggle is you may be a saint, but you're not a perfect saint. We struggle, we fall, we fall into sin, we still battle with a sinful carnal nature. I don't think it's just me. We all struggle with a sinful carnal nature that resists or fights or wars against the Spirit of God. It's summarized in a couple things. One, selfishness, and the other, self-centeredness. Selfishness and self-centeredness. See, and that's where the part or the process, not just the instant declaration of sanctification, we are in right standing with God, but the process of sanctification comes into play, a continual cleansing that is needed as we walk here on planet Earth. The world, the flesh, and the devil are ever present in the life of the believer. The world, the flesh, and the devil are ever present, ever surrounding us. Now listen to this. Think through this. Just as the sinner cannot save themselves, we can't save ourselves, we need Jesus. Just as the sinner cannot save themselves, going to church, good works, all the things. We cannot save ourselves. No, we can't do it. Just as a sinner cannot save themselves, the believer cannot keep themselves. We need Jesus. We need His Holy Spirit. We can't do it on our own. Just as we can't get saved, we need Jesus. We can't stay clean. We can't live this life. Without, we cannot keep ourselves apart from the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. Five things that I'm going to share about the Holy Spirit being active in our life. Number one, the Holy Spirit helps us put to death the deeds of the flesh. Dead to sinful, carnal, worldly selfishness and self-centeredness. Romans will tell us this in chapter 8, verse 13. If you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Put to death the deeds of the body. We'll be in Galatians in just a second, so I'll leave this one up. Put to death the deeds of the flesh. The word, many of you may already know, it means mortify. To mortify. It means to put to death through starvation. Mortify. Put to death through starvation. We see, we struggle with sin. That's part of living on the planet, a sinful carnal nature. A nature that leans or bends towards sin. We can struggle with sin. We can fall in sin. We can fail in sin. But there's one thing we can't do, and that is continue in sin. God gives us great grace to fall, to fail, to struggle, but not to be pointed in that direction. To willfully choose to continue. And I don't know. Well, I do know about all of us. I was going to say, I don't know about you, but for me, but it really is for all of us. Willpower isn't enough. We can't just make a decision of our own willpower. My dad used to tell me, man, he said, Barry, you've got a lot of willpower. And he'd smile and say, because you haven't used any of it yet. Right. Thanks. You must have a lot of willpower because you haven't used any of it. The way we conquer selfishness, which is, I want this, and self-centeredness, which is, it's about me. The way we conquer, I want this, and it's about me, is by putting to death, by starvation, mortify the deeds of the flesh, that desire. We don't feed the desire. We need more than human willpower, we need the Spirit's power. Galatians will tell us this. Walk in the Spirit. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the thing there's a war going on, there's a pull, there's a struggle. And they're against each other, and so what you want to do, you don't do, and what you don't want to do, you do. New Living Translation will put it this way. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. See, and the Spirit gives us the desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting with each other. Sinful carnal nature, things of the Spirit. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. What you want to do, you don't do. What you don't do, you end up doing. I was thinking of Carolyn this morning because it was 100 years ago, maybe not quite, when she was in the youth group that Audrey and I pastored right here at the Garden. And I remember talking to you and the group of teenagers about this tip when you're trying to get free. It was in a study called Spending Time Alone with God by Barry St. Clair. I think we did it over at Greenview Elementary. And the phrase was this: don't focus on the problem, focus on the answer. It was glance at the problem and gaze at the Lord's. Glance at the problem and gaze at the Lord. Set your attention. It's not just somehow that we focus on, I'm trying not to do that, I'm trying not to do that, I'm trying not to give into that. Instead of focusing on the problem, focus on the Lord's. Turn your eyes on Him and walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It doesn't say focus on, just try so hard to not. It says instead, try so hard to do. To focus on the Lord. We lift up our heads, we set our hearts and our minds and our affections on things above, not things beneath, where Christ is. When Christ, who is our life, will appear, we focus on Him. And as we do, we look to be changed and transformed. Have you ever seen the pictures, weight loss transformation, the before and after? This is not that talk. But this is a spiritual transformation, the before and after. Spiritual transformation, before and after. The Bible will tell us this in 2 Corinthians, but we all with unveiled face, as beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are being transformed. It tells us that we're changed in His presence. Come to the Lord. The invitation is open. You got struggles in your life, struggles with sin. You just can't kick something. You don't want to. You don't want to continue in sin. You don't want to fall in sin. You don't want to struggle. Here's the answer: walk in the Spirit. Here's the answer: come and behold Him in worship and in prayer and in devotion and in love, and come near. Don't stand afar off. Come near. It says that we'll be transformed into the same image. I tell you, that's powerful. There's four times in the New Testament where this word shows up, transformed. This is number one. Number two is in the book of Romans, where it says, don't be conformed to the image of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you'll be able to know what God's will is. Be transformed. There's a change that happens. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. As we look to the Lord, be transformed. As we have our minds renewed, be transformed. And the amazing part is where this word shows up another two times. One in two of the Gospels. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was sometimes... Two times it's translated transformed. Two times it's translated transfigured. It's the same word. Transfigured before. He shone like the sun, and his clothes were white as the light. One of the Gospels will say whiter than any dry cleaners could get them. As any launderer could get them. This amazing picture. When you think about the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter and James, John, hike up the mountain with Jesus, and they encountered this experience where Moses and Elijah show up and Jesus is speaking with them and is transfigured before them. It's the same word. As we behold Him, we are changed. And the writer is saying, look at that. That can happen to you. That same experience. As we behold Him, we are changed. It's this picture of Moses climbing up the mountain, spending time with God, coming down. He wasn't focusing on the transformation. When Moses came down, he didn't even know that his face shone. It wasn't, oh God, please give me a shiny face. He was just with the Father. He was just with God. And a transformation took place. May God transform us. The Holy Spirit helps us put to death the deeds of the flesh as we draw near to God and are changed and transformed. The Holy Spirit also, He leads the children of God. Romans tells us this, that as many are led by the Spirit, of God. They're the sons of God. Galatians will tell us again, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're no longer under the law. I don't often camp on this word and this word, and it's the same Greek word, but it shows up twice in this message. Because this word shows up in another place. It says, as many led by the Spirit, they're the sons of God. If you're led by the Spirit, you're no longer this leading of God's Spirit. God's Holy Spirit leads us. The same Holy Spirit that led Jesus. And here it is. Same word, same place. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned to the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. We look at the life and the ministry of Jesus. You see how Spirit-led he was. This is telling us it's accessible for us to be led by the Spirit, just like Jesus was. There's a transformation that takes place in our lives as we behold him, and we can be led by the Spirit just like Jesus was. Now, sometimes when the Holy Spirit leads us, I mean, even in this passage of Scripture, where it's talking about Jesus filled with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, and then it says was led into the wilderness. Sometimes the Holy Spirit leads us places we didn't expect, and we blame him for leading us here. How do we get here? I should have taken that left at Albuquerque. He's going to lead us the right way, without a doubt, even though we show up at the Red Sea, or we show up in the valley of the shadow of death. He says, we don't have to fear because he will be with us. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. He'll even prepare a table before us in the presence of his enemies. Listen, he's got this. When he leads us, it's our job to follow. Danielle and I were talking last night about how the Lord had been leading her in a YWAM experience, in this amazing encounter, how the Lord led her in a different way that she was expecting, a different way that she wanted to go. But discipleship is about following the leading of the Lord's. And she did, and so grateful that she responded to his voice. But we have never walked through this day before. This day, March 31st, 2019. We haven't walked through this one before. We need his leading. We're passing through unfriendly territory with enemies on every side. We need the leading of the Lord. What a blessing to know that we follow the one who knows the way. He not only knows the way, he is the way. But not only will he lead us places we're supposed to go, he'll keep us from places we shouldn't. When they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach in Asia. It's not because God doesn't love the people in Asia. It wasn't their mandate. It wasn't their calling. It wasn't their timing. It wasn't their assignment. So the Holy Spirit said, no, put the brakes on. You're not going there. Tried to go to Bithynia. The Spirit did not permit them. It's not just about he'll lead you to places where you're supposed to go. He'll put blocks where you're... They were intending on going and the Holy Spirit said no. How many times do we intend on going places and the Holy Spirit says no? And sometimes kind of takes the legs out from underneath us, and as we're trying to go, we think, God, why? When he says no, it's no. He leads us. But God is always for our good. Always for our good. But not only does he lead us and not lead us, not let us go places. But he leads us in advance. When Paul was with the believers, the prophet Agabus came to him in advance and said, when he had come to us, this is Agabus, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and his feet, and he said, thus says the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, the Holy Spirit speaks. So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. It wasn't, Paul, you're not supposed to go. It's just, hey, here's the heads up on what's awaiting. What's awaiting you when you go. So he prepares us. He leads us. He leads us where to go. He leads us where not to go. And he leads us in advance because he knows this is what's going to happen. Paul says, "Why? What's all this carrying on? I'm fine to go and be bound. I'll even give my life at Jerusalem. Come on. I signed up for this. There's a lot of things I didn't sign up, but I did sign up for this, to follow Jesus wherever he wants me to go. Trust that he's leading us. Last couple things. Holy Spirit's our teacher. John 16 will say, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he'll tell you of things to come. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. He reveals to us. He reveals to us scriptures that we don't understand, we never understood before. And then it's like he turns the light on. Scripture will tell us that the natural man can't understand the things of the Spirit. And so the disciples, do you remember the moment where Jesus was with the disciples and it says that he opened the scriptures to them and they understood? It's these aha moments. And the Holy Spirit does that for us. Audrey and I were sharing just Friday or Saturday morning, maybe yesterday morning. This week we were talking about our devotions, and she said, "Do you know, I was reading about Moses and Elijah standing on the mountain with Jesus, the Mount of Transfiguration." And she said, "I've never seen this before," and shared with me. And I had said, "You know, I was reading about Peter going to the temple with Jesus. I had never seen, neither of them was carrying cash." You know, and there were five things out of that came about catching the fish. And but it's just these. The Holy Spirit will illuminate God's word to us. The disciples didn't understand what Jesus was saying, but it says after they received the Holy Spirit, they preached out of the text that they didn't understand before. They didn't understand that the Messiah must suffer. And after Jesus breathed on them, so much of the sermons in the book of Acts are expository messages of the Old Testament. Suddenly, they got it, and they understood the scriptures, and it was revealed to them, and they were able to share in a way that they understood, and people could understand. Understand positively, sirs, what must we do to be saved? Understand negatively, pick up the stones. But they understood the scriptures. He is our teacher, but not only is he teacher, he helps us. He helps us remember the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things. There it is. Yes! And he will bring remembrance to all the things. Not only will he teach you, he'll help you remember. Because our memory, as with every other function of this being, has suffered as a result of the fall. And so he will help us remember. Much trouble and heartache. Wouldn't this be true? Much trouble and heartache could be saved if we just remembered what Jesus told us. If we just remembered what God had told us. Well, I mean, right from the get-go, we could do the do not eat of the tree. Reminds us for Christian living, reminds us for defense against and offense against the enemy. Reminds us that ministry is about serving others and not about us. Reminds us of God's encouraging promises and strength we receive. But listen, if he's going to remind you of something, you have to have it in you first. If he's going to make a withdrawal and remind you at a moment in a time when you think, God, I need to know what you're saying. If he is going to reveal a scripture to you, bring it to your memory, he's got to get it from somewhere. And that somewhere is your hearts. That you have made a deposit so he can make a withdrawal. That you have memorized, you have meditated. Get God's word inside of us. So at that moment, the Holy Spirit can bring to life the word of God that's within us, has made a deposit. And I can't encourage you enough, get God's word into you. And not just at night when you're falling asleep. Put the Bible on and that's certainly a nice thought, but I don't know how much it gets into you. Victor Borge, the comedian, used to put on learn how to speak Japanese when he fell asleep. And the amazing thing is he did learn. He could speak fluent Japanese, but he had to be sleeping to do it. So, if you want to be awake, get God's word into you. Don't only give him someone to work with, give him something to work with in your life. And then lastly, this morning, we'll just really close with this, this verse, 16:14. The Holy Spirit will, it says, he will glorify me, Jesus. The Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus, for he will take what is Jesus's, and he'll declare it to us. He will glorify Jesus. Whenever the church talks about the moving of the Holy Spirit, his presence and his power, whatever manifestations are being attributed to a move of the Holy Spirit, I am always looking for one thing, is Jesus being glorified. The Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus. He won't point to himself. He will glorify Jesus. Jesus be glorified. May Jesus be glorified in our lives. Holy Spirit working in us, He helps us put to death through starvation the deeds of the flesh. He leads us as the children of God, where we should go, where we shouldn't go. Gives us advance warning. He is our teacher. But then He helps us with the test because He reminds us of what we've been taught. Not only does He teach us, but He helps us remember. And lastly, He will glorify Jesus. The Holy Spirit in our lives, may we glorify Jesus with everything within us. Let's go ahead and pray.